The new year 2020 began. In everyday life, for today's Christian, it's more important to have a compass which guides you to the goal than a map. So map is like an instant solution, not a permanent solution. Whenever the situation and circumstances changes, it requires new solution and new maps. So the map in 100 years ago, it cannot be used today. A map of the New South Wales cannot be used in Victoria. Because the map is only temporary solution in a certain situation. But the compass is always show us a direction. Regardless the time, regardless the place, regardless the circumstances. So for all Christians, this compass is covenant, the Bible, which God gave directly to His people. So Bible is not a map that gives a direction only to the particular people in certain time. It is like a compass that shows the way of life, eternal life, and a blessing for the people in every generation, in every nation, in every situation, in every environment. So religious practice and desperate prayer are not the answer for the problem that today's Christians are facing in their lives. According to the Bible, a Christian's life is a narrow, rough path. It meant to be. So that is why the Christian who live priesthood as holy people of God need a Bible, a spiritual compass that guides us to follow God's will in any situation, any environment, and any generation. So in year 2020, I hope myself to diligently preaching only the Bible, and you brother and sister learning the Bible and history with in-depth knowledge to meet God's heart. For the church, for the Christian, Bible is the answer. Bible is the all we need. Nothing more. So we have a look at the book of the Joel until last week. So let's recheck the historical order we've learned so far. So we had learned up to the 2 Kings chapter 13. When the second Jeroboam was ruling in North Israel, then learned the book of the Jonah. And later on, in 2 Kings chapter 14, when Jeroboam II in North Israel was ruling, then we have gone through the book of Amos from the South Judah, called for the prophecy to North Israel. This was followed by the book of Hosea, who have worked in North Israel at similar times. Then I went through the story of the prophet Joel, who had worked in South Judah over the past 2 weeks. So Joel was a prophet who worked a little earlier time than the Jeroboam II of North Israel. The story of the two nations, North Israel and South Judah, could be a little confused, so you should refer to the king's timeline. So today we will return back to the 2 Kings and look at the chapter 15 and 16. So far, there has been a lot of stories related to the history of North Israel since the North Kingdom replaced God to golden calf from the beginning, and they continue to fall into idolatry to be perished. Also, because North Israel ends quicker than South Judah in history. That's why we first dealt with the history of the North Israel. So we have learned until the time of Jeroboam II, in reviewing the entire history of North Israel. When Solomon fell into the idolatry, God entrusted 10 tribes to a man named Jeroboam and wanted to be king and lead the people in the right way. However, the Jeroboam didn't want to be deprived of his people to Jerusalem, so he built the altar of the golden calf at Bethel and Dan. Then, and went on the wrong path. But in continuation of the explanation, the reason what Jeroboam actually afraid of is all the men in Israel, they have to go to the temple in Jerusalem 3 times a year. So, which is located in South Judah. So he was afraid, what if his people turned their mind from him? That is the reason he built the altar of the golden calf at Bethel and Dan. So rather than he worked in the eyes of God, he wanted to have the favor of the people. So after that, the Omni dynasty from the Ahab, Ahaziah, and Joram begins. And through the Phoenicia woman named Jezebel make people fall into the Baal idolatry and make all North Israel as a Baal worshipper. And this Omri dynasty was judged by Jehu, and he removed all Baal worship and altars. But he didn't, all the shrines, but he did not leave the idolatry of the golden calf. So through the Jehu, Jehoahaz and Joash, this Jehu dynasty, the spiritual state fall to the bottom level. However, God still gave them a chance to restore the territory of David and Solomon in the days of Jeroboam II, the son of Joash, and to have the richest time since Solomon. Then these people in this well-living age, people rather become more and more evil, have not returned to God. And in the end, when God sent prophets like Amos and Hosea, the advice was disregarded from the messenger. So Jeroboam II might have seemed prosperous, but he could not get out of the spiritual corruption. His son Zechariah reigned 6 months. He still lived on the golden calf worship and life of idolatry. At the time, the Shallum from the Gilead east of the Jordan rebel and kill Zechariah. So Jehu dynasty was finally over. And the Shallum from the east of the Jordan became a king of North Israel and reigned only 1 month. And Menahem from the Tirsa killed the Shallum. Then he became a king. And the North Israel continued to have rebellions. During the reigns of this Menahem, the Assyrian king invaded Tiglath-Pileser. So Israel bringing a bribe to avoid a war. But his reign was only about 10 years. Later his son Pekahiah became king. But he continued to leave idolatry worship, the golden calf altar. Pekahiah dies in the second year of his reign and killed by a man named Vega. So a man named Vega becomes the king of North Israel. During his 20 years of reign, this man allied with the king of Aram to break free from the Assyrian rule. But eventually, the Assyrian army attacked and defeated Israel. King Vega was killed by the man named Hosea, who was powered by Assyrian. So here, the man named Hosea is completely different person from the prophet Hosea. He is the last king of North Israel, who reigns for 9 years. At first, he was favored to Assyria. However, the later he allied to Egypt to escape from Assyrian rule and completely destroyed by Assyrian. For the downfall of the North Israel is found in 2 Kings chapter 17. So you look carefully at and read through chapter 15 through the 17. So North Israel remained for about 210 years from the BC 931 to BC 722 when the country was divided. There were 19 kings over 200 years. So in average about 10 years. But the king was changed by the coup 9 times. For example, King Shimri was a king only for 7 days. King Shalom reigned only for a month. Zechariah reigned only for 6 months. And for 2 years, there were 4 kings. Nadab, Elah, Ahaziah, Pekahiah. King who reigns the longest was Jeroboam II, 41 years of Jehu dynasty. This was the peak prime time of the North Israel. But the time when Israel lived so well, it was also the time they were mostly corrupted. So, at this last period of the kingdom, the prophet Jonah, Amos, and Hosea and worked and prophesied the word of God. So, Jeroboam II, from the worldly perspective, politically, economically, diplomatically, security of the country, he has ruled country pretty well. So if anyone could score the highest mark in the North Israel, Ahab and Jeroboam II, probably the best, as you see on the screen. At the time, the national power, those two kings, built the most powerful country since King Solomon. But enriching the country is not the standard of God. It's not the value of the God. The point what God sees is the first fair and justice. The person God seeks, the value God seeks within us is the fair and justice. The Mount Sinai covenant is the standard of blessing and curse in all of the Bible history. The word of the Leviticus, which God gave to his people, it is not a religious law, but the right to live as God's kingdom citizen. The key message of the Sinai covenant was the right to be respected, right to be loved, and the right to live in justice. And God has always judged them by the standard of fair and justice in all the lives of His people. In fact, the reason that Abraham was called in Genesis 18 was for teaching God's will. God's will is the fairness and justice. Abraham was called to a life of fair and justice. In the Sinai covenant, that was embodied and codified. So God has always watched in the rule of kings and elders and leaders the fairness and justice more than anything else. So even though North Israel went the wrong way and sinful way, every time when new king was raised, God wanted them to build a nation that practices God's given fair and justice. He wanted to be restored as God promised to them in the covenant. All that God gives us is not for our personal wealth and glory, but for the impartiality and the justice in the society in which we live in. He wants all of us to live together in blessing and have a blessed life. So society is increasingly losing fairness and justice, and the phenomenon of the rich get richer and the poor get poorer is like an alarm to tell you that the very serious day of judgment is near. So God always speaks to the authorities, the leaders. It was important not to be proud, but to be humble and maintain fairness and justice. David was the one closest to the model in biblical history. David was the only model who lived a life of faith in the will and the expectation of God throughout the old kingdoms of Israel. The most important word that symbolized David's rule may be fairness and justice. If you see look at the 2 Samuel verse chapter 8 verse 15, when David became king and reigned over all Israel, he always ruled all his people in a fair and a righteous law. So David was really the standout man whom God has sought and established. So David is a standard person in the Old Testament after the Sinai covenant. The rule of fair and justice that follows the will of his God. It can be said that his life of faith became the standard to keep for all Christians. So after David, all kings were evaluated whether they lived like David or not according to God's will. In the North Kingdom, none of the 19 kings went by the David's path for more than 200 years until the nation was completely destroyed by Assyria. Even though North Israel was so disobedient from the beginning by replacing God to a golden calf, God didn't get rid of it. He tried hard to keep the promise He made through Exodus 19 on Mount Sinai. The Bible contains many covenants from the Garden of Eden, but the Sinai covenant is a very important promise that determines how the history of Bible flows. from the continuation of the covenant with Abraham, it is the way of life that God dreamed. So this covenant was made at Mount Sinai before entering Canaan, the land of mission, because God told them how to live in the promised land and what would happen if they did not. After all, the Old Testament and history of the Bible are determined by the consequence of obedience and disobedience to this Mount Sinai promise. The reason Jesus gave us the new covenant, Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 1 to 4, instead of the old covenant, it is because this Mount Sinai promise was not fully kept. The new covenant of Jeremiah is not to cancel the Mount Sinai covenant, but to go beyond the paper and to be written in the mind of man. Now, in order that people of faith, not through the intercession of the priest, may come to God directly and become His people through the blood of a holy and eternal mediator, Jesus Christ. So if we are not sure what this Old Testament history, especially promise of Mount Sinai, we do not know, we won't be able to know why God is so upset and continue to send a prophet. So if you do not know this covenant well, you are not able to know the Bible correctly. The Mount Sinai covenant, the Ten Commandments, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, the Torah, five book of Moses, is the covenant that all the prophets proclaimed to Israel for them to return to the covenant with God. Now the reason why North Israel is finally going to be perished is that they did not stand in the Sinai covenant. And now South Judah is finally captive to Babylon because of the failure of keeping this covenant. As we shall see later, Jeremiah, who had foretold and experienced the perish of South Judah, shed tears, proclaiming the judgment on was due to break the covenant. So we'll go through the Jeremiah chapter 11 verse 1 to 8. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Listen to the term of this covenant and tell them to the people of Judah and to those who live in Jerusalem. Tell them that this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Cursed is the one who does not obey the term of this covenant. The terms I commanded you, your ancestors, when I brought them out of Egypt, out of iron smelting furnace. I said, obey me and do everything I command you, and you will be my people and I will be your God. Then I will fulfill the oath I swore to your ancestors to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, the land you possess to today. I answer, Amen, Lord. The Lord said to me, proclaim all these words in the town of Judah and in the street of Jerusalem. Listen to the term of this covenant and follow them. From the time I brought your ancestors up from Egypt until today, I warned them again and again and saying, obey me. But they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubbornness of their evil hearts. So I brought on them all the curses of the covenant I had commanded them to follow, but that what they did not keep. Jeremiah proclaimed 800 years after the Exodus. The Israelites turned away from God, when they became to own the land of Canaan. Canaan, in about 50 years after the Exodus, God endures long, wait long, and is slow to anger, because He is God who cannot break broken reeds and cannot give up even one soul. During His wrath, He did not forget mercy and waited till the end. However, North Israel eventually turned away from this promise and became completely perished. We should not turn away from God, who constantly spoke through His prophets. Even though people seem to live well without God and to live freely and cool, if you turn away from God, we should listen to God's message for us to become a light and soul for the world. I believe there is no one going to hell by deception, but because of their stubbornness. Probably the world we live today, maybe even though people does not believe and does not follow the word of God and do not live accordingly, and they seem to be richer and prosperous, it is like a time of Jeroboam II. Jeroboam II, the nation was most powerful and prosperous and wealthy. However, there was no God because they didn't obey the word of God. So we should be able to learn the lesson from the Bible book, especially from the second Jeroboam II. In the North Kingdom, there was a little hope during the times of Jehu. The reason why is that Jehu obeyed the word of God. He destroyed all those who served, destroyed all the shrines of the Baal worshipper, and all the priests of the Baal, and smashed all of the shrine and made them into the toilet. So I thought he would make something for God. However, in the end, he could not make anything. Why? When he became a king, actually God ordered king must keep the copy of the word of God, put it aside, and read it day and night, and follow the path. The Jehu, the king of the North Israel, he neglected the word of God. And there was no one who spoke the word correctly, and the right teacher to teach the word of God. The Korean church has been working on so far. The ministry harder, praise harder, pray harder. They've worked hard on everything, but teaching and learning Bible, which God's people should value the most. What I mean is, I don't mean they didn't teach the Bible, but they taught the Bible only something sweet and easy, and used the Bible verses selectively, rather than teach them whole. Dear brothers and sisters, no matter how good the church is, if you do not teach the people the word of God, church will soon end. The church might look good on outside, physically, but it doesn't work. It is not important to build a multi-million dollar building and expand like a temple in Jerusalem. All churches must be where God's heart in the Bible is delivered to keep God's command and promise. So there are churches that are large, but not healthy, but obese. And there are small, but healthy churches. There are also be small, unhealthy churches, and large and healthy churches. What matters is not the size of the church. The most important thing is whether there are people who know God's promise and commands and try to live accordingly. If we are ignorant of the word, failing to put God's heart in the heart of the people through the Bible, regardless the church is big or and colorful, there is no difference from the Jerusalem temple, which has left no stone on other stones. Do not neglect the word. If you are to please God, success, successful business, promotion in your job, excellence, but not there are not on the rock of the Word of God, it's just a building on the sand. God wants all people to have the blessing and grace of God living by the Word. Today we have learned the history of the destruction of North Israel. What we should remember from the history of North Israel, in North Israel, because of the idolatry of Solomon, God wanted to separate the 10 tribes and establish it as a holy nation. Why was this country completely destroyed within only 200 years? It's because Israel broke and neglected the covenant. Since the beginning of the kingdom, North Israel has replaced and distorted the image of God into the shape of the golden calf. From the beginning of our relationship with God, if you make them distorted to the God you expect, and after that, the whether is a temple, regardless is a temple or the church, or worship, regardless of worship, praise, prayer, or service, or are transformed into the religious idolatry to achieve what you want. So your Christian life is only to achieve your own personal goal. Even if you go to the church and say that you believe in Jesus, a life that is no different from the pursuing hope and obsession of the people of the world. This is written in Isaiah. The God rebuke Israel. I am sick of your burnt offering and the smells of the fat of the animal offering. Why? Because there was no heart. There's no obedience. The purpose they worship is to achieve their personal goal, not achieve the will of God. So our service today can be the same service and worship and offering what Israel did in the past written in the Isaiah. So while sharing the history of North Israel, when we first came to the church as God's children, when you want to restore the right faith with God, it has been said that it is important to know first what God's law is, what His covenant is, what His commands are. So when people first believe in God, what they think and what they imagine and what they expect God is totally different. So this is why we learn the Word of God. So just living in the Christian culture It doesn't guarantee you leave in the covenant. Live according to the word of God. The history of North Israel tell us this fact. The first Sunday of 2020 began. In the year 2020, the most we should focus on as a Christian is the God I know and I believe is the same God of the Bible. We should meet God every day through the law, covenant, and command that God has given us directly. We are able to fully understand God's heart. What sort of year 2020 do you want to live? Naturally, people live as they want. Each lives his way and follow their own instinct. That is why Bible tells us that we must govern our hearts. In year 2020, many different situations and circumstances will come to us. If you overcome such a situation and circumstances well, you will live a life of victory. If you do not overcome them, you will live a sad and hard life. How can we cope with the unknown situation, unexpected circumstances? Well, it is ruling over the mind. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 32. Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23. And keep your heart among all worthy things, and the source of life is from it. And Proverbs chapter 25 verse 28. He that does not control his mind is like a city broken down and no wall. If the city collapses and there are no walls, enemies come and go as they go and kill and destroy. If you don't control your mind, it's the same. Our heart focuses on knowing the will of God rightly, completely through the Bible and history. Making decision is more important to have hope, willing heart. So I want you to meditate why North Israel had to be perished and learn the lesson from it. Please remember the church and Christian, what we all need is a Bible, nothing more than that. So I want you to live accordingly. The first Sunday in year 2020 this year, as a new covenant people with God, determined to live as a holy Christian, as God's own people, we want to have a Holy Communion. Before we start a Holy Communion, decide to live a life in which God's fairness and justice. Let this God's fairness and justice flow through me into all relationship with family, society, and the nation. So this year, let's live a life like David, who was most close to the God's model. David wasn't a perfect man. He failed, but he stand up again by the word of God, even though he failed. So I want you to come back to the place where the covenant people should be. No matter you fail or not, continue to come back. Then become a history maker like a David. How can you make it? Deuteronomy chapter 17 said, When you came to throne, you wrote a copy of this book in front of the Levites, and he will read it by his life and learn to fear the Lord his God, and he will keep all the words of this law and these decrees. To become a history maker is that when we become children of God, we become king like a priest and a holy nation. The most important thing to do is to meditate God's word day and night and live by his word. On the first Sunday of 2020, I want you to live a full life this year alone. Make your decision and come to the Holy Communion. So do not be deceived by its appearance and possessing many things, but want to live by the justice and fairness according to God's word. When God gives you a chance, you don't want to be history breaker, you want to be history maker. So decide, make a decision to live like a David.